China. Welcome, everybody. This is the first time we ever do a webinar like this, specifically for the PDP. Let me take you... before I really start, I want to provide you a brief overview of what we intend to discuss with you or clarify with you today. First of all, it's a bit about the, say, where we are in the PDP process and, say, and specifically focused on the members' vote, which is a phase in the, in the policy development process. And the second part will be more in depth into what you will be voting upon. So that's the council recommendation as it stands, because it's a whole set of proposals and recommendations on the policy for the selection of IDN CCTLDs and on the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO. So that was one of the, say, these are the two main reasons for organizing this webinar. So let me provide you a brief background on, say, where we are and the next steps. At the Beijing meeting, the CCNSO Council adopted the final report, which is a specific phase in the CCNSO policy development process. As a result, the two community working groups, one dealing with the selection policy for IDN CCTLDs and the other one on the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO were closed. And a second result of that meeting and is that the CCNSO Council requested the ICANN board to implement part of the overall policy for the selection of IDN CCTLDs in the fast-track process. So that's the CCNSO Council part of what happened. The chair of the CCNSO has informed the chair of the GAC of the final report and the results, and the as a result, and the GAC, and this is part of the policy development rules as well. The GAC has been formally asked to provide opinion or advice, and this is not directed at the CCNSO itself, as it. But the advice or opinion will be provided to the board, ICANN Board of Directors. And then as a result, and this is where we are right now, the CCNSO members have the right and are requested to vote on the council recommendations. And as I said, I will go in more detail what the council recommendation is, and Gabi and I will... make clear what the voting process will entail. And once the, if and once the council recommendations has been adopted by the members, it will go as a CCNSO recommendation to the ICANN board, and hopefully we'll be able to conclude that process at the Durban meeting. So this is where we are right now, and the next steps. Now, the IDN CCTLD Council recommendation. As I said, it is a very complex recommendation in the sense that it includes a whole set of proposals on the overall policy for the selection of IDN CCTLD strings, a set of proposals on the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO, and some procedural proposals. And you, what you need to think about with procedural proposals, one of the proposals is that the whole policy for the selection of IDN CCTLD strings will be reviewed in 5 years, for example. So it is a whole complex set of proposals, as I said, and I will go into more detail later on in the presentation. Now, on the members' vote, as I said, this is a particular phase in the policy development process, and if you look at it, say, the members vote on the council recommendation, so that's the whole set of proposals, and the members vote either in, they are in favor. Sorry, I don't know if you have any issues, but it's back again. Thank you, Christina. The members vote either in favor of the recommendation, against, or if you don't feel comfortable or for whatever reason, you abstain from voting. There is one vote per CCNSO member, and currently we have 136 members of the CCNSO. Now, the voting process is, and is hopefully we are able to conclude it in the first round, and there are specific requirements for the voting process. First of all, and that is, there is a what is called a quorum rule, that a majority of the members need to vote. Currently, we have 136 CCNSO members, so that means that at least 68 members need to vote in order to have a valid first round of voting. So if 67 or less vote, there will we need to conduct a second round of voting, and that means we'll not be able to conclude the PDP before the Durban meeting. The second requirement is that at least 66% of the votes cast, so that need to be in favor of the council recommendation to, in order to be adopted as a CCNSO recommendation to the board. So I've put in some examples, or we've put in some examples. So example one is that 110 votes will be cast, so out of 136, it clearly needs that, say, we met the quorum rule, 80 are in favor, so the recommendations are adopted. The second example is there will be only 60 votes. So as a result, there is no quorum in the first round, and we need to go into a second round of voting. And the third example is we have 90 votes cast, so that is more than 68, so therefore we meet the quorum requirement, but only 55 are in favor, so that is less than 66% of the votes cast, and therefore the policy is not adopted. So this is, say, the rules as they are documented in the policy development process. Gabi will now go into more details regarding the voting procedure as such. Gabi, over to you.
Okay, so the voting is starting on next Wednesday, on the 22nd of May. It will start at 0001 UTC, and it will end 3 weeks later on the 11th of June at 2359 UTC. First of all, you might have seen that I've been emailing a lot about asking you to check who your primary contact is, because the day before the voting starts, the primary contact that we have in the CCNSO database will receive the ballots. And I just want to highlight again, the CCNSO database is not linked to the IANA database, so it is really important that you know who will receive your ballot. So if you don't know who the primary contact is for your registry, please contact me as soon as possible, really, if it's possible today, because we need to prepare the database so that we have all the correct email addresses in there so that the ballot comes to the right contact who will vote. So on the 21st of May, the day before the voting starts, our primary contact will receive an email message from an email address tally@tally.icon.org. I've copied in a screenshot from what it looks like in my inbox. So it's actually, it doesn't come from a name or anything. It just comes from this email address, tally@tally.icon.org. And in the subject line, it will see ballot ID and URL for election, vote on whatever it, we will call it. It will be vote on IDN, CCPDP probably. Again, I made a test vote, and I took screenshots of it so that you can see step by step what it will look like. So if you open the email message, this is what it will look like. Now I sent this to myself. You will see greetings will go to whoever the primary contact is, and the name of the voting will be there. You can see I call this vote on IDN CCPDP PDP test. The ID number under that is not important. It's just the ID number of the vote, actually, but that you can ignore that. Start and end date of the vote is in there, and then the important number in there is the ballot ID. This is your unique ballot number. This is how you can control that your vote has been cast later. So this is important for you, the ballot ID. And then it will say who will vote. For instance, your first surname at whatever your email address is. And then the only thing that you really need to do is to click on that link, the URL that you can see at the very bottom. That's really the only action and you need to take from this email. Then you come to a page that looks like this. And then you can see there are three options. The whole vote is spelled out there, what you're voting about, so you can think it over. Read the text carefully, and then you have I vote, and then you can choose either in favor, against, or abstain. Now I clicked in favor. It doesn't mean that you have to be in favor, but I just clicked it there just so you can see what it looks like. And then once you click that, you can just click submit ballot. Once you've submitted your ballot, you come to a page that looks like this. It just says again which option you chose, and it just confirms that you have cast your vote. It also says that you will receive a confirmation email to the same email address. You can also see that there's a link saying current results. If you click on that link, you will come to a page which will actually summarize what the results look so far. I mean, at the moment when I did this screenshot, I was the only one who actually voted. So you will probably see many more results. And you can see at that time when I voted, there was just one vote in favor. But you can actually follow what's going on in the elections. And if you look under received ballots, you can see that your unique ballot ID number is listed there. So you can see that it's been registered. And you can see what this number voted for. You cannot see who it is. You can just see the numbers. But this allows for everyone to control that their ballot has been correctly counted. You can actually, if you change your mind during the voting process, you can vote again and again and again, and you can change your vote. Your previous ballots will then be disregarded, and the latest vote will count. So even if you're changing your mind a couple of times, that's fine. The latest vote will be counted, and it will also be listed here that so and so many votes have been are invalid because they were changed. So it's always the last vote that counts. And at the very end, you will receive a confirmation message, again from tally@tally.icon.org, just saying confirmation of ballot submission. If you open it, this is what it looks like. Again, it's a summary of what your election ID voted for, and thank you for submitting your ballot. And this is really all you need to do. So you just need to mark your ballot ID somewhere and just need to click that URL and then your choice. That is really all you have to do. It's very simple. that's all from my end.
Thank you, Gabby. Christina, could you make me presenter again? Yes, thank you. So what I'll do right now is go into more the substance of the council recommendation in order so you can understand what you're voting upon. First of all, as I said, the council recommendation contains proposals for the selection of IDN CCTLD strings, proposals on the inclusion, and proposals on the inclusion of IDN CCTLD managers in the CCNSO. What it means is that IDN CCTLD managers cannot become member of the CCNSO. As soon as this is implemented, they should be able to join the CCNSO. So going into more details on the selection of IDN CCTLD strings, the proposals go into, say, what is called overarching principles. So these principles drive the interpretation and implementation of the other criteria and procedures, etc. For instance, that one of the overarching principles is that the stability and the security of the DNS should always be ensured. The second part deals with criteria. The criteria is, for example, the IDN CCTLD string needs to contain at least one non-ASCII character. And then procedures and documentations, again, this is about the procedures that will be need to be followed and the documentation submitted in order to select an IDN CCTLD string. And there are some miscellaneous recommendations. For example, as I said, the review of the whole policy in 5 years. With regard to the proposals on the inclusion of IDN CCTLD managers in the CCNSO, again, the same structure, overarching principles that drive the recommendations or the proposals and their interpretation, recommendations or proposals themselves, and in this case, because it's a change of the ICANN bylaws, proposed changes to the ICANN bylaws, Article 9, and Annex B. Annex B is the section in the ICANN bylaws relating to the CCNSO policy development process. As a warning, there are some notes and comments contained in the members' report, and in but these notes and comments, which are clearly marked, are not part of the council recommendations, but are there to assist further interpretation. Now, let me go into more detail into the proposals for the selection of IDN CCTLD strings. One overarching principle, and again, this sets the scope for the overall policy, is that the current policy for delegation and redelegation of CCTLDs in general applies. So this policy proposal will not affect the delegation and redelegation policies which are currently discussed in another forum. The proposed policy builds on the fast-track methodology. As some of you may be aware, that as a few years ago, the CCNSO, cooperation with other supporting organizations and advisory committees, has developed what is called now the fast-track process or fast-track methodology. And currently there are already over 30 IDN CCTLDs in delegated, but this policy builds, so this policy, the proposed policy, builds on the experience gained with the fast-track methodology, and as soon as it is implemented, will replace that fast-track methodology. So this is, say, the next part of the presentation is more a comparison between the fast-track methodology and the major policy as proposed. The major changes are that the string needs to contain at least one non-ASCII character, so this is one of the of criteria. In the overall policy or in the fast-track methodology, the proposed string could not contain any ASCII character at all. So this means that some Latin strings will be allowed as long as it contains one non-ASCII character. There was an issue in the fast track with confusing similarities. That has been addressed. Again, this builds on the experience gained with the fast track methodology. What is probably important as well is that there is a placeholder on the management of IDN variants of IDN CCTLD strings. This will be addressed in time, and so that is, we need to revisit the policy again in the near future once it is clear what needs to be addressed or the issues are cleared, are clearer. And then there is an update and clarification of all the processes in the of the fast-track methodology, and so the definition and description is improved, etc. Let me go back. So the procedural changes, as I said, one of them is the review of the policy in 5 years. The second major one is the creation of an advisory group that to assist ICANN staff with the implementation and to assist the board once the policy becomes operational, so if there is unclarity on the interpretation of some of the aspects of the policy. And another procedural proposal is that the CCNSO will monitor and has to adopt the implementation plan to make the policy operational. Again, this is based on experience and is just to clarify the role of the CCNSO and other stakeholders with regard to the implementation. And this is based on the experience gained during the implementation of the fast-track process. I will not go into details on the IDM PDP confusingly similarity. If you're interested, you can read it, and it's in the members' report. The second part of the proposals is on the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO. Again, one of the, and probably the major overarching principle is that IDN CCTLDs and ASCII CCTLDs, so that are the CCTLDs as we currently know them, should be treated similar. So there should not be any distinction, say, from a formal sense between IDN CCTLDs and CCTLDs. One of the major overarching principle. So if you look at the proposals, the major ones are adjustment of the membership definition, so membership of the CCNSO itself. The second major change is currently there is a one member, one vote mechanism. The proposal is to change this into one vote per territory. Again, one of the reasons is that as a result of the introduction of IDN CCTLDs, you'll note, and this is documented in the members' report as well, that in some countries there are 21 or potentially 21 CCTLDs and other countries only one. in order to, again, implement this principle of IDN CCTLDs and ASCII CCTLDs, and again to implement the idea that all countries or territories are equal, the idea or the proposal is to have one vote per territory, and in, say, in some of the territories with or countries with more than one CCTLDs, the CCTLDs and IDN CCTLDs are treated similar, and they appoint what is called a person that represents them for voting. Again, the voting is only in specific cases. That's for council elections, board selection, which is a voluntary arrangement, and in this case, voting on the results of policy development processes. And as you may know, the CCNSO hardly conducts policy development processes. So a third major change in order to cope with the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO is that a policy development process could be initiated by 10 members of the CCNSO, which is the current rule as well, but that these members need to be from different territories or countries. So, and further, there are some minor changes, but not really major ones. Some background information in order to prepare you, you for the voting. The members' report has been published on the CCNSO website. You can see the URL, and the council recommendations, as I tried to explain, is contained in page seven through 30. The rest of the document is around the processes we've been followed until now, an executive summary, and a bit of background. And the second probably important document you want to look at is on the CCNSO policy development process itself, which is part of the ICANN bylaws, and the members' vote itself is in section 13 of this of NXB of the ICANN bylaws. So that was the presentations. If any of you have any questions, please either use the chat or you can use the phone or the Adobe Bridge. That will conclude our presentation. I don't see any questions. Again, as Christina said and Gabi said, this presentation is recorded and will be made public on the CCNSO website under the agenda for today, and this evening 1900 UTC will run the same presentation again. Thank you very much, and have a nice day. Bye bye.
Hi everyone, thank you very much.